tonight, let's run over to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verses 24 through verse 26. We'll read, pray, and ask our God for His help tonight. That's Hebrews chapter number 11, and look at verse number 24. And once you get there, let's all stand. That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. And the Bible says this in verse 24: By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Jesus greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We're going to talk tonight in this little thought, a faith that refuses. A faith that refuses. Father, I pray tonight for the Holy Ghost's help. I pray, God, to empower me to preach your word with your might and with your touch. I pray, God, to help some soul tonight. I pray, God, to breathe upon someone tonight and show us, God, how we can have the faith to refuse, the faith to resist, the faith to reject that which the world throws in our direction. I pray, God, we watch Moses. I pray, God, we won't just be spectators, but also pray, God, we'll be appliers, applying the things that we will learn from his story, so to speak, tonight. And I pray, God, we leave out of here with more confidence, with more courage, with more spiritual backbone. And for that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for our young people. I pray for our moms and our dads. I pray for our grandparents, our aunts and our uncles. I pray, God, for our friends as well as our foes. I pray, God, tonight you'd help all of us, Lord, draw closer to you. And for that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for a great move of the Holy Spirit tonight. I pray, God, you shake up some stuff, but also I pray, God, you put some stuff back together, too. And for that, God, we'll shout again, hallelujah. And then, of course, if there's one or more among us tonight who are not truly saved, blood bought, born again, going to heaven, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost will convict their heart, show them the truth. And I pray, God, that once they see that truth, they respond like Moses and receive, Father, and reject as well the world, but receive the word and be rescued and saved by the Savior Jesus. And with that, God, we'll shout again, hallelujah. Help us. Bless all those on our prayer list, as well as those who we are spoken for tonight in request. God, meet every need, and we'll praise you. All right, we're done. In your son's name we pray, Jesus, amen. Amen. May be seated. A faith that refuses. The word refuse here in verse number 24 means to reject, but it also means to refuse someone. And the Bible says in this verse, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. And just kind of to remind us a little bit, remember that word faith goes back to verse 1, and it means this. Now, faith is the substance or the a confidence of things hoped for or things expected. The evidence or the certain persuasion of things not seen or things that are not in your sight. But in other words, you still have faith, even though you can't see it, that God's going to send it. Do we have that kind of faith? By the way, this ain't no hocus pocus faith. It's based upon the word of God. That's where we're trusting his word that he'll do exactly what he said that he'd do. So we'll see three things and we're done. The Bible says, first of all, we see the refusal in verse 24. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if you remember, Moses had been put in that little ark. He went down that river now, Pharaoh's daughter saw him. She wound up taking him in, but she let his mama wind up raising him up. Amen. Hallelujah. God, and got paid for it, by the way. How many of y'all moms like get paid for taking care of your children? Amen. But she got paid for it. And then when he got to be a certain age, she turned him back over to Pharaoh's daughter. And there he was raised up. But then the Bible says, when he was come to years, when he had come of age, I thought to myself, all of us at some point in our life are going to come to age. There's going to be a point in your life, my dear friends, where you're going to have a choice to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when he came to years, when he had come to his years, that he decided he was going to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Folks, we all going to have to make a choice to either refuse or to receive. To reject the sonship of the enemy. All of us, now if you remember what Jesus said about them Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Before our heavenly father becomes our heavenly father, we're not under his family umbrella. We're under the enemy's umbrella. But we'll come to a point where we got to make a decision that we're going to refuse to no longer be included in the devil's family, and now we're going to choose to be included in God's family. But you have to make that choice on your own. You have to choose to refuse the enemy. Where's that choice going to be? The Bible says back in verse 24, he says that when he was come to years, he refused, he rejected to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But not only do we see the refusal, secondly, we see the preference. The Bible says in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer. Who would rather choose to suffer? Yeah. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That word choosing means to prefer. He made a preference here. He made a choice here. And his choice was this. He said, I would rather suffer affliction with the people of God. That word, suffer affliction, it means to share persecutions. So a lot of times when folks get saved or they decide that we don't start coming to church, they automatically feel like there won't be any more persecutions, there's no more afflictions, there's no more troubles, there's no more trials, there's no more pain, there's no more heartaches, there's no more confusion. But hey, I'm here to tell us tonight, my dear friends, the Bible says we're going to have persecutions. Matter of fact, look what it says in John chapter 16, verse 33. The Gospel of John chapter 16 and verse number 33. The Bible says this. God's Word says this. He says in verse 33, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have what? Peace. How many of y'all looking for peace? I love me some peace. That word peace in this verse means quietness. Means rest. And Jesus says, hey, in me, he says, you might have peace. He said, but look at here. In the world, ye shall have what? Tribulations. That word tribulation means pressure. It means trouble. But he said, hold on, baby. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What he's saying to us, my dear friends, is you and I can have peace in the midst of persecution. Only the child of God can have that as we lean and as we trust in a holy, living, breathing God. But we're going to have troubles. And when you choose Jesus, that means that you are not receiving Satan. And he don't like that. He going to turn up the pressure. He don't want you to go that way. He going to do whatever he can to hinder you and to stop you. But the Bible says that Moses says, I'm going to make a choice. Go back to Hebrews 11. I'm going to make a choice rather to suffer affliction, share persecutions with the people of God. That word people, that also means the nation. This, we have a large nation of God's people. Amen. The Bible goes on to say this. He chose to suffer, preferred to suffer, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. That would mess somebody up. Well, sin, it'll drag you. Sin will, it'll destroy you. Sin will cause you to, this is sin. It's sin. But sin has pleasures. If there was no pleasure in sin, who in that right man would be doing it? That would be ridiculous, amen. There is pleasure in sin. And that word pleasure here, my friends, it means this. It means, my friends, also enjoyment. He says, to enjoy the pleasures, that enjoyment of sin. There is pleasure in sin. When you go fishing and you put some bait on that hook, There's something there that's going to draw them fish. And it tastes good. But what they don't realize is that there's a hook on that bait. It's going to be good for a while. But after a while, it's going to get you. And that fish be shaking, trying to get off of there. You know, trying to get off of there. And that's how a lot of us are sometimes. But you know the only way for that fish to get off of that hook is somebody to take him off. Hey, even though you and I might get hooked up by the enemy, we've got a God that knows how to set us free and get us off of that hook. Hallelujah. But there is pleasure in sin. Good night. Nobody wouldn't gamble if nobody ever won. Nobody would ever get high if they never laughed at home. Amen. I mean, there is pleasure in sin. But the Bible is very clear. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That word season means temporary. It means enduring only for a while. It's short term. I mean, the first time I ever got high, probably about 12 or 13 years old, and I remember laughing and stuff and giggling and all that kind of stuff. And I remember us going down the sidewalk. We were going down the street. Had us on down the sidewalk. Somebody had a yo-yo and we were just rolling. And we were just cracking up. Just dying laughing. And it's like the greatest time. Had no idea that I was going to be involved in this for not just a few days, not just a few weeks, or not for just a few months, but for years, my dear friends. And that pleasure turned to pain, my friends, because I had wound up graduating from the marijuana to the cocaine and other I studied all kinds of drugs. I had no idea where I was. It's a wonder my mind is even here tonight. But you get hooked. And that pleasure turns to pain. Then you want to quit. The people that do crack want to quit. The ones who do meth want to quit. The ones who are on the Oxy and all the other different types of prescription drugs want to quit. But their bodies won't. Yeah. Listen, my dear friends, there's pleasure in sin for a season. It's temporary. It's for a while. The person that goes out and begins to have sex outside the bonds of marriage. At first it seems like everything's all right until pregnancy hits. Or until some venereal disease hits. Or until your emotions get wrapped up into that individual and that individual has nothing to want. They don't want to have anything to do with you. They don't care about you. They've got what they want and now they've moved on to the next person. There's pleasure in sin for a season. So I'm not going to simply lie to nobody and say there is none. For the Bible is clear. It says here there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a time. For a while. And what Moses did, he recognized this, the Bible says, and he preferred or he chose rather to suffer affliction than the pleasures of sin, which only lasts for a season, just a little while. So we see his refusal, we see his preference, and then we see his calculation. He did. So this is where math comes in. It's good. The Bible says, esteeming. That word esteeming means to count. Esteeming, accounting, calculating the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Let's look at this for a second. He says, esteeming the reproach. That word reproach also means strong criticism. He says he was esteeming, he counted that the criticism, the reproach, the attacks of Christ were greater riches, more valuable, more wealthy than the treasures in Egypt. That word treasures there means the storehouse, the wealth in Egypt. And he says, no, all the wealth in Egypt could not measure up to what you and I would go through for the Lord Jesus Christ. So wait a minute. That don't make sense. If you're saying, okay, what you're saying is this. The reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. But notice what it says, greater riches means that the reproach or the strong criticism of Christ is more valuable. Why is it more valuable? Because of what lies ahead. The Bible says, for. This is another reason to read the Bible slowly. For means because. For, or because, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Ain't that great? Y'all just like me. What are you talking about? What's great about that? Y'all more intelligent than I am, I know. Oh my God. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Glory. Hallelujah. But then I began to look at the word. I like to look at the words. The word, the two words, had respect, is one Greek word. And it means this. It means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on one thing. It means to look away from everything else. Now, if I'm looking away from everything else, or I turn my eyes away from other things to something else, what is that something else? He says it. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking away from something to something else. And the something else was the recompense of the reward. Is that all right, Christian? I need some more help. All right. The words recompense of the reward, those four words, means this: payment of wages due. He says this. When he began to look away from the world and look at the payment that was due him, my dear friends, when he turned all that up, he was more worthy, my dear friends, to hey, to suffer with God's people than the pleasure of sin for a season. He made some calculations. What lies ahead for us is far greater than what this world has to offer. God's going to pay us, my dear friends. We got wages that are waiting us. Payment that's awaiting us. The payment of the wages due. How many of y'all get paid on Friday? How many get paid sometime this week? Another day. What day you get paid?
Every other Saturday.
Thursday, Steve. Tuesday. When that day gets approaching, you expected them to give you what you're due. And the closer you get to that day, especially when everything else starts to go down, you start getting excited. And what Moses is saying here, my dear friends, is this. It's a lot of ugly stuff down here. But we do have blessings down here too, by the way. But the ugly stuff happening down here. But there's something that's awaiting us. There's some wages. There's a payment. There's a day coming. A payday coming, my dear friend. That's so greater than what this world has to offer. And that calls him to get excited. Most, if you get paid on Friday, most people are really happy on Friday. Now, money is different. Walking in Monday. What all we got to do this week? Leave all that stuff we got to do. Man. Yeah. Then when Wednesday comes, you about need some oxygen. You know, thank to help you. But then when Friday morning comes, or whatever time you get to work on Friday, and you know that check is due. Yeah. Everybody walk by, hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you. What's up, bud? High five. Praise God. Hey, God good. Amen. And then they come by. And finally, most of the time they wait till the end of the day you can check. Because, you know, a lot of times you get your check before the end of the day, then you start getting a fever. Get sick, you know, got to go home. But it's amazing, though. Whatever day that you get paid, that is one of the best days at work of the whole entire week. My dear friends, what we're saying is this. We've got a payday coming. It's rough right now in some areas, but there's a payday coming. And hey, that's far greater than what sin has to offer. Sin destroys. Sin tears apart. Alcohol tears apart. Gambling tears apart. None of those things build up, my friends. They only seek and destroy. No. We got to make a choice. What we need is this type of faith, a faith that refuses the enemy and embraces the Savior, Jesus Christ. We need a faith that refuses, my dear friends, the things of this world, making the choice, you know what, I'd rather suffer than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. A faith that makes a calculation. I'm going to do some adding, some tracking, some dividing, some multiplying, and realize, hey, because remember what the Bible says. We all, matter of fact, let me show you this. We're about done. We're early. So look what it says over here in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. We'll show you this really quick. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Is that it? It used to be. They moved it. They moved it back over to 1 Corinthians, I believe it was. Let me see here. It used to be. They maybe took out the Bible altogether. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking right over it. Here, I was right. 2 Corinthians 5. Look what it says here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That's referred to in many terms as the Bema seat. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And he goes on to say, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. My trusts also are made manifest in your consciences." But he says this. He says, all of us will give an account. Everyone that may receive the things done by according to whether he have done, whether it be good or bad. Everything, good or bad, we're going to have to deal with that at the beginning. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I hope it's on an individual basis. Not like everybody out there is like, they call your name right there. You'd be like, can we like go in a room? You be like, just me and you, Lord, just be sitting there. We go through that thing. Because it's embarrassing when everybody see. Oh! Oh, not her! Not her!
Yeah.
Not him! Oh! Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every person will stand. And this, of course, is talking to the believers, but the bema seat of Jesus Christ. And we will. According to what we get. There's another verse I want to look at. What's the other verse that, guys? Where it talks about, y'all probably want to tell me. That verse over there, where it talks about, I think it's in Corinthians 2. Let me see, where is that? It has something to do with the same thing. About going through the fire. Not more than Peter. That's the kind of God that I serve. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 13. Y'all ain't going to give it to me. God said, hear you right here, son. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Because some of us, you know how we are. We don't know. And we don't know. But look what it says in verse 13. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try or test or examine every man's work of what sort or what time it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself, let's make it clear, shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That means you're not losing your salvation. But you will be rewarded according to your works. Some things will be burned up. Some things will last. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to have some rewards. Amen? And of course, we take those same rewards, those crowns, and we give them back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to help us to earn those crowns. Amen? But the bottom line is this. When you and I start looking ahead and say, wait a minute, what God has for me is far greater than what this world has to offer me. Because the pleasures of sin only last for a season. It's always right to do right. Oh, no. It's always right to do right. You take a right and a wrong and think that the wrong will override, will make the right better or some kind of way to help that out. No, it's going to make things worse. It's like this blows my mind. I was talking to folks the other day. And we've been talking about this before, about how some of the marriage counselors, they'll tell you this. If your spouse has an affair and you're having a hard time dealing with it, they'll encourage you sometimes to go out and have you one too. Now, ain't that crazy? That's about the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Oh, now you're going to feel better. Now somebody else is going to be mad. Well, they deserve to be mad. But now what about the other person you just slept with? See, there's a lot of stuff that gets attached to all this stuff. There are feelings, there are emotions that are involved in all this stuff. And we think, well, I'm just gonna play with that fire and get burned. You are going to get burned. Yeah. Steve is an electrician. Right. You ever been shocked by electricity? I thought you was an electrician. If you're an electrician, some point in time, you are going to get shocked. Now, me, I don't like messing with electricity. I don't. I did electronics and all that kind of stuff, but they've been doing all that. No, 120 and no 110 and 220 and all that. And see, Steve, he be plugging stuff like that. I'm like, man, you might get all it won't hurt you. I be thinking to myself, I get that. And there I go. Wait, man. I mean, if one little joke, oh, that ain't enough to hurt you, you know. I don't even want to feel it. I don't want to feel that little. I don't want to feel that. I felt it before. I don't want to feel it, amen. But if you're working with electricity, at some point you are going to get shocked. If you play with fire, you are going to get burned. There's no way around it. If you play in the mud, you're going to get dirt. Well, I ain't playing. They play in the mud. I'm just standing over here with them. Okay, step from over there. What's going to be at the bottom of your feet? Mud. And if you stand right there next to them and they're splashing all up, what you think will happen? It's going to get on you. What's the best thing to do? Get out of there altogether. Don't even mess with it in the first place. A lot of young people have been caught up in stuff because they was at the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people. They weren't like those other folk, but they was there. And you are guilty by association. Sometimes they'll see things that they wish they had never saw because now they're part of that crime. They're part of all that stuff that took place. Especially if they don't go and say anything about it. And when everything comes around, then they're going to have to go and do some time as well. What are you saying, preacher? There's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. But what you and I need to do is by faith decide, you know what? I'm going to refuse the world. I'm going to refuse the enemy. I'm going to refuse the things the world has to offer. And instead, I'm going to receive the things that God has for me. Because those things are far greater than what the world has. I have three questions. I'm done. First question is this. Have you made that rejection or have you made that refusal yet? Have you made that refusal yet? You decide, you know what? I'm going to refuse the world. I'm going to refuse marijuana. I'm going to refuse cocaine. I'm going to refuse drinking. I'm going to refuse fornication. I'm going to refuse whatever other vice, whatever other thing that might be. I'm going to refuse that. I'm going to refuse the enemy. Secondly, what is your preference tonight? He made a choice. He preferred God over the enemy. What is your preference tonight? And then lastly is this. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? What is it going to cost you to do what you might be thinking about doing? What is it going to cost you? Well, I think it's only going to cost so much. Sometimes it costs you more than what you think. Most of the time it does. We think this is what the price will be. But the price is far greater than you and I are willing to pay. So you know what's the best thing to do? Make sure you count that cost well. So you know what? I don't think I want to go that direction. Because you know what? How's the old saying go? A sinner take you farther than you intend to go. Will keep you longer than you intended to stay. And cost you more than you wanted to pay. That's what sin will do to you. But you and I have to decide to refuse the enemy and receive the Savior. What's your choice tonight? Father, I thank you for your precious word. I've done my best to convey it to the precious souls that have gathered here tonight. And I pray and ask God that we would decide to do like Moses did. So you know what? I know where I belong. I don't belong here. I don't belong with these group of Egyptians. Where I belong with the people of God. I belong with the Hebrews. I belong with the Israelites. And Father, he made that choice. And some people say it cost him a lot. Yeah, he was out there in the wilderness for 40 years, but he came back and he led your people. He led them out of Egypt and he led them to the promised land. Father, perhaps some folks here tonight that need to make some decisions about some things. They're on the fence. They're struggling. They're in the battle. They're thinking, well, you know, I don't want to be looked at. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want to be accused. I don't want my quote friends to not like me because I make a stand for Christ. But Father, I pray that you help each of us to make the right choice because that choice will determine what's going to happen with us in the near future. Father, help us, I beg you. And then God, perhaps some folks want to thank you for helping them to be able to refuse the enemy and, Lord, to receive the things that you have and embrace the things that you have for them. Perhaps God, some folks want to come tonight and pray for others who they know that they love so deeply and they want their lives to change and they want to ask you, God, to help them to get out of that situation, out of that sinful activity and come to you and be delivered. Whatever the needs are tonight, God, help us to come talk to you. Maybe some folks just want some praise. I don't know. Whatever the needs are, help us to come. Of course, in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you want to come tonight and talk to the master. You want to come talk to many have already come. Perhaps.